Okay, new Mishnah. Hey, Yomad Aleph. Ready? Good. Okay, so again, same approach, every Mishnah, same thing. Right? Everything that the Mishnah teaches us, or at least we need to ask the question of what the Chiddush is of the Mishnah, right? What would we have thought had we not had the Mishnah? And then just be open to asking questions in terms of trying to understand what the Mishnah has said. So, Kosel Chatzer Shenafal. If you have a wall in a chatzer that falls, mechayven oso livno, so you obligate him to build it, ad arba amos, until four amos. So what's the first line of the Mishnah teaching me? What's the first line of the Mishnah telling me? Right, what's the chiddush of this opening line? That if the kosel of a chatzer falls down, that we are obligated him to build until dalet amos. Well, what are we talking about? If we're talking about a case where there is hezek ri'ah, we're talking about a case where there's a hezek ri'ah, a chatzer, so why would you not have to rebuild the wall? It should be pashut that you have to rebuild the wall. If it's just telling us that you have to build the wall, that's the same as the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph. So what's the chiddush, right? If hezek ri'ah is required, building it initially, why would you not have to rebuild it now? Right? Oh. So the answer to that question, we know. How do we know the answer to that question? The opening line of the Mishnah tells us that kosel chatzer shenafal, right, is mechaven osol ibn osa dalet amos. So the kosel of the chatzer falls down, you have to build it up until 4 amos. So luchora, that is pashut. Why is that pashut? Because if you had to build the initial wall because of hezek ri'ah, then of course you have to rebuild the wall because of hezek ri'ah. So why does the Mishnah tell it to us? So we know the answer to that. Why? Because the Gemara already asked that, right? That was part of the Gemara's discussion on Beis and the Beis and Gimel Amud Aleph. Right, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, if you're going to assume that Hezek Ri'ah is Shmei Hezek, then Enoch and Ami. What's the chiddush of our Mishnah? There is no chiddush in our Mishnah, and that's what the Gemara says in the end. The Gemara says that the only chiddush, if you hold Hezek Ri'ah Shmei Hezek, would be the seifa. We just need it for the seifa that if you had a wall that was higher than Dalet Amos, and you had agreed to build such a wall, now that the wall fell down, I might have thought that you would be mechayiv him to build up above Dalet Amos as well. Kamash Malad, that Vakosa Chatzer Shenafal, you're only going to be able to be mechayiv him to build until 4 Amos. If you hold Hezek Ri'ah Lav Shmei Hezek, then the halach of the Mishnah is only true when it comes to a kosel v'chatzer shenafal. Because if it was just the first kosel, you can't force him. Because that's the din of Hezek Ri'ah Lav Shmei Hezek. And then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? So now the chiddush of the Mishnah is beautiful. Right? Once you agreed to put up the wall, between you, even though Hezek Ri'ah Lav Shmei Hezek, now if the wall falls down, I could still be mechayiv to put it back up. And that's a chiddush. Right? Again, so the first line of the Mishnah was actually subject to a discussion on Beis Amud Beis and Gimel Amud Aleph in terms of proving whether Hezek Ri'ah Shmei Hezek or not. Good? Good. Why do you only have to build until Dalet Amos? Why only until Dalet Amos? So So we have to see. The pashtus is, right, is that until Dalet Amos is the height that we were concerned about. Above that, we were no longer concerned that people would be able to peek into the chaser. Right, let's just see Rashi. Dalet Amos Chazal or Meshaer, that is a sufficient amount of building that one should do to prevent Hezek Ria. Very nice. That's the first line of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, "Bechezkas shenosan ad sheyavi raya shelo nosan." Bechezkas shenosan ad sheyavi raya shelo nosan. There is a chazaka that he gave until you bring a proof that he did not give. What is this halacha? What is this halacha of Bechezkas Shenasan? And what is it talking about? Are we talking about the initial wall? Or are we talking about this rebuilt wall? Right, the Mishnah is talking about the second wall, right, the Kosa Chatzah Shenafal. But is there anything about this second halacha which is unique to the second wall, or would it be true by a first wall as well? And how do you bring a riot that he didn't pay? Very hard to prove the negative. Right? To bring a riot that somebody paid, so that l'chora I could do. It could be a receipt, it could be Adam. How do you prove that somebody did not pay?
Receipt that you paid for all the materials.
But maybe he paid you subsequently. Right? It's very hard to prove that something didn't happen. To prove that something did happen, okay, so that you bring Adam for. But to prove that something did not happen is not simple at all. So what are we asking? What are we asking of the we'll call him the Toveya, right? The person who's asking for the money, or the person who built the fence. So what does Rashi say? Bechezkas shenosan. Im amar ha'echad la'achar shebino'o. If one of them says after he built, ani osisiv mishali, I made it from my own assets. Shelo ratzaz elisayeni, that my neighbor over here, Shimon, did not want to participate. V'tovo chatzi ha'itziya. So he's asking for half of it, right? Because it's a mutual obligation on neighbors to pay for a fence in between them, to pay for the wall in between them. So we both have to pay. And the other one says, I paid my part, says the din of the Mishnah, ne'eman. He is believed to say that he paid his part. Again, l'chora, right? L'chora, you don't see anywhere in Rashi that this is unique to the second wall, right? Sounds like it might even be talking about the first wall. Why is it stuck in here? It's a good question. But that seems to be the din that he's saying over here. So again, if one guy, again, the wall is already standing. And now one person claims, I built the whole thing. And you didn't pay me for it. You have to pay me for it. And the other one says that I participated. He is believed that he participated. Unless the other guy, unless he can bring a raya that he did not pay. How can you prove that? Or it's a pella. Like, how can you prove that he did not pay? What does Rashi say? Ad sheyavi hatoveya edim, until the toveya is the plaintiff, right? The guy who claims that he built the wall. Yeah.
Sorry. Why do we assume that he does pay? Why isn't it the opposite?
That who pays?
That the second person pays.
That's a good question. Also, it's a good question. Also,
why isn't it? He has to prove that.
It's a different good question. Rashi's going to address that actually in this Rashi also. But, right, Meaning, why is it true that why do we believe the second guy that he paid more than the first guy that he did not pay? Good. Rashi is going to address that. But again, once you accept that, it's still difficult. What does the Mishnah want from this guy? So Rashi says, "Ad sheyavi hatoveya edim shetuvao v'lo nasano." Until he brings witnesses that he asked him for the money and he didn't give him. Anybody else bothered by that Rashi?
He paid after they left?
Hmm?
Is that your thing? Are you concerned because the guy might actually...
Yeah, how does that prove anything?
Because it changes the chazakah.
How does it change the chazakah?
Because the chazakah is, it says that, like, they both have equal claims. So, at the end of the day, like, you can't force one to pay over the other. Now, the chazakah changed and he didn't pay, so that's on him to prove that he did pay.
So again, so you're saying, Ein hachanami. Bring it. Let's backtrack a second. Let's make sure that the problem is clear, and then we'll right. The question on Rashi, I think, right? The Mishnah just said that you have to prove. We assume that he paid, unless you can bring proof that he did not pay. So you're expecting, I think, I'm expecting Rashi to give us, I don't know, some sort of solution that. You know, there was a short period of time between when the money was laid out, and they were eating with them constantly, or something along those lines, right? And therefore, we know as a fact that he did not pay. Yeah, we're trying to be motzi mamon, and we're trying to take money away from somebody, so we need pretty good evidence. That is not what Rashi said, though. Right? Rashi said that till you bring Aden, that you asked him for the money. And he did not pay you. So my question, which is bothering you guys also, is what does that really prove? What does that really prove? So one time I went over. You know why the nitba, right? The defendant is going to say if we ask him afterwards, you know why I didn't pay? Because I paid already. Or I didn't pay because I don't have the money on me. And I paid him the next day. Why does that prove, just because there was this interaction that Aden saw, that they asked him for money, he didn't pay, that tells me, that tells me that he still owes him the money. So Reuben is suggesting that it's not a proof. It's not a proof, but we're dealing with chazakos, and now the chazakah has shifted. Until now, for whatever reason, that was a good question, why is there a chazakah that he did pay? We'll get to that in a second. Until now, there was a chazakah that he did pay. Now, there is a chazakah that he did not pay. Why is there a chazakah that he did not pay? Because we at least have witnesses telling us that at some moment he didn't pay. It's an interesting theory. I don't know that I would have, meaning, it might be a way of trying to get Rashi out of trouble, but I'm not sure that we would have intuitively said that. Right? So let's hold on to it for a second.
Well, that's because I'm jumping on, but that's how I understood, like, the differences on the end of the Mishnah, where it talks about the chazakah's change.
Maybe. But I think before we get there, let's finish the second part of this Rashi. And I stopped in the middle of Rashi. Right? But again, let's make sure that the problems are clear, right? Learning the Mishnah is mostly about problems, not so much about solutions. So the problem, right, is the Mishnah is saying, we don't yet know why, that there's a chazakah that the guy paid. Ready? And Rashi is telling us that the proof that he did not pay is once you can say that Adam came and saw that he asked, that Adam came said he asked him for money and he didn't pay. Rashi continues, though, and Rashi says, again, Mecheskas in Asan, Im Amar Ha'echa La'avar Shebina'on, if one of them said after he built it, Ani Asisi Mishali, I made it from my own. No, wrong Rashi. Achayavi ha-toveya eidim to the toveya, the plaintiff brings witnesses to tovo that he asked him, v'lo nosano. Dekeva nechova alav l'sayo, since he is obligated to help him. U'mishpat ze l'kol goloi. And everybody knows it. This isn't one of those obscure halakos that we're not sure if the guy knew. Everybody knows that both people have to pay. He would never have built it on his own, rather he would have gone and yelled to Beis Din. What's Rashi trying to explain? Right. The beginning of this second kuhas begins with a dalet. Right? Dalet is a shin. Shem, right? A reason. Dikevan. Rashi is trying to explain something. The most logical thing that Rashi would be explaining would be the first part of Rashi. Right? That the reason that he has to pay, the reason that it's considered to be that the proof that he still owes him the money is if Edom come and say that he once claimed it but he didn't pay because of the following. Unless you guys can figure it out. I don't know how this part, right, that since there's an obligation, and everybody knows an obligation, why does that explain why if Edom came once, he's still obligated to pay? And otherwise he would have yelled at him and based it. Right? The Rashi doesn't read that smoothly. Right? The first half of Rashi and the second half of Rashi, I think, right, don't go together so well. At the first half, Rashi is explaining how you prove that he didn't pay. The second half is saying, seems to be explaining more what Yehuda was bothered by, which is why is there a chazakah that he paid? So the reason that there is a chazakah that he paid is because everybody knows you can force him to pay. In which case, the fact that the plaintiff went ahead and built the wall and didn't go and yell in Beis Din that he's not helping me, and he laid out the money on his own, that already undermines his case. Who would do that? Who would do it? If I know I can force you to pay with me, I'm not paying for the whole thing. And therefore, it sounds like the second half of Rashi is explaining the first point. Right? Why is it that it's b'chezkas shenasan? The reason, and again, it's not terrible. It's it's going back on the overall halacha. Why is it b'chezkas shenasan? Why do we assume that the nitva paid it? If he claims that he paid, again, he didn't claim he paid, they're not going to help him out. But he claims he paid. Why is that kind of believable? Is because it is supported by the fact that it is very, very unlikely that the person who's claiming that he built it himself would have done that when everybody knows you can force the other guy to pay. Oh. So now, in terms of our chazakos, which are our assumptions that Beis Din is entitled to work with, we have a legitimate assumption that the nitva is telling the truth, because the toveya's argument that he paid the whole thing is a weak argument, because it goes against normative practice. That instead of paying and then trying to get the money out, really what he normally would have done is try to get the money out first. Now, does any of that fine? So step one, which is the second part of Rashi, right, is the reason that it's Bechezkas Shenasan is because the claim of the defendant that he paid is bolstered by the fact that the claim of the Toveya is weak. Because that's not normally what would happen. Therefore, until he brings a raya that the other guy did not pay, we're going to assume that the toveya, that the nitva, the defendant paid. Meaning, at that point, it's hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Who's the one who's trying to really move the money? It is the Toveya. The Toveya, because the Nitva's Taina is believable. Oh. Now, we understand, right? Yehuda, is that clear? That answers your question.
Good. But how does that help us? How does that help us with this? The Adshiyavi Raya Shonasa.
I would think that you need some sort of a real Raya. A real Raya. Why is it sufficient to learn like this? So this is not all Rishonim learn like this. Not all of the Rishonim learn like this. So again, it's not as
explicit as we may have wanted it to be, but it seems to be implicit in some of the other comments that the Rishonim are making. If you look at the let's say the Rashba, for example. So the Rashba says, my kosa chaser shenafa. That's on page Samach Tes in the Kovetz. My kosa chaser shenafa mechayvin osol ibnosa adal ramos becheska shenosa an shavu raya shenosa. Ikal meida. My becheska shenosa. Why is it assumed that he paid? Ve'ezem muksud boyoser. Meaning, why are any of them believed more than the other? They should basically be on equal footing because we know nothing. We know nothing. One's claiming I've paid, the other one's claiming I paid. So as far as we know, they might have each paid. V'yesh lomar, kigon de'ika edim, we have edim, da'artze chad minayu lechavrei, that one tried to convince the other one, v'sirev miliv no simo, and he refused. He refused to build with him. Afilu hachi hareze v'chezka shenasan. And he, notwithstanding that, he would still be considered the v'chezka shenasan. Tekevon didin zegol akol shechayev oliv no simo atchisak ben hezek re'iya chazaka porei ukdamin v'gemara kol shav shav zimnei ukdamin l'mo b'rito b'zman v'fayim. So again, he doesn't address the second half yet. But he's giving us a bigger inkling into the beginning. Meaning it sounds like, right, the chiddush here is, again, according to Rashi, if Edom would come and say that one guy refused to pay, what would we assume? We would assume that he never paid. Right? The Rashba is coming from a different angle, but l'chora, it's clear that he's arguing on Rashi. Again, Rashi says what? Rashi says that we're assuming bistam that he paid. Why do we assume that he paid? Because everybody knows that you could force it out. So what's Adshiyavi Raya Shelo Nasan? The Raya Shelo Nasan is to bring two Edim that say that you asked him and he didn't pay. At that point, does he have to pay? If the two Edim come and say that Reuven asked Shimon for the money and Shimon didn't pay, does Shimon now have to pay? Rashi says yes. But what did the Rashba just say? The Rashba just said, well, what's all these chazakas? We have no idea what's going on here. And therefore, he says, if there are edim that one asked the other to participate and the other one refused, we would still assume it's bechezkas shenasan.
Right? What would Rashi say if their Eidim that at the beginning he tried to convince him to build a wall and he wouldn't agree to do it? Lechora Rashi would say that it's Bechezkas Shalonasan. Like, that's even stronger. Rashi doesn't even tell us that Sirev is even stronger. Right? I don't want to build with you. It's stronger than I just didn't pay you right now. So if the Rashba is going to learn, if the Rashba is going to learn that if you are the Sirev and they're aided that you refuse to participate, we still assume that you paid. Why? Because the chazaka is that he did it that he was responsible to do. Because you wouldn't have built otherwise. You wouldn't have built otherwise. What's not clear according to the Rashba is, so what is the Achei Avirai Shalonasa? But it's got to be something more. Is that clear? Ish? So,
I'm just not getting to the connection between the Eidim don't help with the idea of...
And the Rashi and the Rashba are addressing two different points. The point that I'm trying to make is, I think it's clear from what the Rashba says that he would disagree with Rashi's point. How so? Again, according to Rashi, right, there are two points. One is Bechezkas Shenasan. And the second point is, right, Acheyavi Edim Shelonasan. Right? These are two distinct points. Right? So Rashi says that it's Bechezkas Shenasan, right? Because it's obvious. Right? Because it's a Galil Akol. Fine, good. How do you prove Acheyavi Rai Shalonasan is, right, bring Aiden that, right, he asked for money and Nitba, that's the defendant, said no. At that point, it goes back to Acheyavi Rai Shalonasan. Now he did that bitter has to pay. The Rashba says, again, and it kind of goes in this column, which is why it's confusing. The Rashba says that it's Bechezka Shenasan, even if you bring Adam that he wants. Refused to build. Even if you bring Aiden that he once refused to build, it's still Bechezka Shenasan. Because of course you still wouldn't have built without it. What I was trying to say is that according to Rashi, if you bring Aiden that he refused to build, wouldn't you think that would be as good as this? I think so. In which case, what is actually up? Would the Rashba really agree that if you bring Eidim that he asked once for the money, then he must have no? Is that good enough? Is that good enough to be a raya shalom asa? And the Ran says similar. So again, it's not. I don't have a good answer according to them of what the Raya Shalonasan, the Raya Shalonasan is. But I think you still need to understand a little bit more of what qualifies according to them.
I don't know. Is it possible there's no such thing?
Is it possible that there isn't, meaning, until you bring a Raya Shelo Nasan, and you're never really going to be, again, how can you bring a Raya Shelo Nasan? The only way to bring a Raya Shelo Nasan would be like, I was with him from the time that the wall was built until it was, until now. Yeah, it's hard to believe that that is true. I don't know. So I think. One second, where is it? Maybe we'll come back to the Gemara. But again, when you're reading the Rashi, it stands out that it just seems like it's a bit of a difficult assumption that Rashi is making. Maybe we'll come back to it again. Okay, let's try to finish up the Mishnah with some other kashas on the Mishnah. Says the continuation of the Mishnah. Midale Amos to the Maglon ain't mechayven also. From 4 Amos and higher, you are not able to be mechayven to pay. Not able to be mechayven to pay. Chor, that's clear already from the first part, right, that only until Dal Amos. What exactly is the Mishnah getting here? Maybe it's just coming to introduce the next part, which is Samach Lokosel Acher. You put another one next to it. Even if you don't put it on the roof, Megalgin Alavasak Kol. He has to pay for everything. And here, the Chezka Shelo Nasan Arche Yavi Raya Shen Nasan. And here we assume that he did not pay until he bring a Raya, that he did pay, which again is a much more conventional way of trying to prove something. Right? You try to prove that something happens as opposed to trying to prove that something did not happen. Who was trying to prove that something did not happen? Okay. So why is he chayiv? Oh, sorry. So a few questions. One is, Dalet Amos Ulemayla. Dalet Amos Ulemayla. You cannot force the other person to build, right? That's clear in the Mishnah. If you're next to me and you want to build above Dalet Amos, Can I stop you? We've been looking at things from one direction. Oh. Right? Ruvay, what?
No, but you don't have to pay for it.
Why can't I? Okay, I definitely don't have to pay for it.
But what if I don't want you blocking my son? Or what if I'm afraid that your extra weight of the top of your ginormous wall is going to weaken the bottom of the wall that I paid for, and then I'm going to have to pay for another wall sooner. Can I stop you? Yeah, the mission doesn't address it. The mission doesn't address it. But it seems to be an open question. It's actually a machlokas rishonim. It's actually a machlokas rishonim. Again, it's not obvious from the Mishnah. Not obvious from the Mishnah. And then I think the question that was bothering most of you this morning, right, is, why does he have to pay if he builds another wall next to his wall? So again, let's just try to make sure we have the scenario down. We have our trusty old chatzer, right, with our wall in the middle. So we have Reuven over here, and Shimon over here. Right? The wall is in between the properties. Reuven wants to build the wall, and does build a wall, 10 amos high. Shimon only contributes till the first 4 amos. But then Shimon comes along and builds a wall over here.
Maybe not even the whole way. Maybe the whole way if it makes it easier for you, but maybe not even the whole way. That's 10 amos tall. So what does that have to do? So right now, he has to pay, again, depending how far it went, we can assume they went the whole thing, makes it easier to understand. But he's gonna have to pay for the height of this wall, even for the extra 6 amos. Why? So it's from the what the Mishnah says you don't have to do, it's clear what his intention was, right? Even if he did not yet put the roof on. So it seems clear that what he's planning on doing is putting a roof from here to here. Why would he put a roof from here to here? Because if you put a roof from here to here, you now have a storage shed. And you can put your bicycles in there, and they're not going to get wet and rusty. Okay. But why does he have to pay? Why does he have to pay? Okay. Why does he have to pay? And even once we understand why he has to pay, then the question is, well, why does he have to pay before he puts the roof on? Right? So those are most of the problems. Most of the problems with the Mishnah. Yes.
It also doesn't benefit him, because the only reason why he built it, the extra 6 doesn't benefit him. The reason why he built the town was tall is because the other wall of the town was tall. But if it was 4 amos, he would have built his wall 4 amos.
Maybe. It's a possibility. I don't know. But he is, again, presumably, I don't know. I'd imagine he could build a slanted roof if he really wanted to.
Or he could just build a 4 amos. If he's just to put stuff from getting wet, he could have built the 4 amos also. I mean, he only built 10 amos because Reuben built those extra 6 that he didn't ask for.
Maybe, or maybe he's very tall. But right, I don't know. I hear what you're saying, right? We don't know, but we do know that he's getting the hana'a of the 10 amos. Again, assuming that hana'a is the key word here. Assuming that hana'a is the key word here. So again, these are, for the most part, are the problems that the Rishonim are dealing with. Who should look at first? Now, I'm just to, for a second. So, in terms of trying to figure out why he has to pay, the fact that the Mishnah used the words "megalgin alav esakol" does it's noteworthy, right? Because in our minds, where does that send us? To the previous Mishnah, right? Which is a very similar scenario with the nikuf getting up, and then once the nikuf is up, we say "megalgin alav esakol." So it's almost, again, the starting point, unless you can say otherwise, that if we have a halacha and it seems to be similar to what we had beforehand, and the Mishnah seems to be hinting to it, that might be the right place to look. And in fact, if we look at Rashi, which should probably always be the place to start, look at Rashi, right, he seems to be pointing us, for the most part, to a similar svara. This word harvesting is taken out by many of the yourselves. Yeah. It's not clear why that word would be there. Right? After he built it higher than Dalramos, Vilora to Akhil Saya Bagba, so and the other guy agreed to pay until 4 Amos, they want to do above it. But he puts another one next to it, Kadela Sachech. In order to make schach, the law says, "Love tikra on the roof." Because of the coast, so av abish lo nasan alav adayin atikra. Even if he has yet to put the roof on, megalgin alav esakol. He pays for the whole thing. To goli daite de nichale b'hagva dehaich, because he has revealed his mind that he is happy with the height of the other guy. Again, those are similar types of. Words, right? If you look at Rashi, Megalgin alav hasakol on Dalet amid Beis, what did Rashi say? Right? Also, there's this idea of, again, showing that it's something that I want. And if it's something that I want, apparently I have to pay for it. But it's Bechezkas Shelo Natsan. In Boharishon, V'tovo L'din, if the first one comes who built it, and takes it to Din Torah, La'agar Shezamechaz Koslo, the Kosarishon, after he put his Kosar next to the other one, V'omer Lo, he says, Tein Nichelchav Mashik Bati, give me your portion of what I raised, the amount that I raised the wall. V'zeomer Nasati Chelkin, which is I paid, Eino Nevan, Elo Be'edim. He needs to bring witnesses to support him. She'ein Mishpat Zegoli Lakol, because this one's not obvious. V'ad Shechayvu Be'ezdin, Eino Asuritin, so he would never pay without first seeing it in base, which again explains again what the chazakah is. The assumption is that he did not pay, and therefore he has to prove that he went against the chazakah. That he went against the chazakah. Oh. So, what's the best way of doing this? Let's look quickly at the Ritva. It says the Ritva. Can I give you the Ritva? I give you the Ritva. Bechezgas shelo nasan. So he asks the obvious question. V'teima mishun nesemach kosel. Just because he put the wall, lama yischayv l'sfurabo shereadayin lo nehena. He hasn't yet. Again, claim that it's about hana. We'll ask him that. We'll have to understand that. But he didn't get the hana yet. He didn't put the roof on. So wait. You want to be? I have no problem. You want to be mechayv once you put the roof on. The Mishnah is going out of its way to tell me that we're going to be b'chayv you even earlier. V'yesh lomar, ki ala kosel harishon, lo nasan es atikra, hu al kos lo nasan, v'nigdar begeder harishon, v'leisek if amlisha demas nisan. So the first thing that he suggests, well, let's leave the first one for now because it's very, very difficult. Let's see what the answer that he does like, and then if we have time or tomorrow, maybe we'll go back to the other one. V'hanachlam, what's the pshat? Because again, it's a fascinating idea. He says, "The kevan de rishuso omed, kevan de golidaite de nichalei zochso lo chatzero v'nischayevo shenase lo kesada hasuyolita." Well, I have one line that has tons of loaded phrases in it, like you just had it in the Ritva. What did he just say? He just said that what's the distinction between our case and the, let's say, the Nikav case? The distinction here is that the wall that you, the middle wall, right? We're talking about this wall.
Yeah, so I was going to ask, is it two different cases between the one that the Rav drew in and...
I think what the Ritva is saying is this. Very straight lines here. Right, this is the property line, and half of the wall is on each of their properties. So what part of... Again, theoretically... When I'm paying for half of the height of the extra amos, this wall, why am I paying for half? I'm paying for the part which is on my property.
Shouldn't the roof be between the middle wall and the other wall?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the nun. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got a little carried away. Yeah, sorry. The picture's wrong. I used the Nun of Shimon as the other wall. The roof is this way. Thank you. Sorry about that. What the Ritva is saying is this, is that the reason that this case is different, and again, we have to conceptually try to understand what this means, is because this part of the wall, which is now the part which I'm going to, right, the height above 4 of this part, which is on my property, once I'm a galadas, my chatzir that this is in is kona it for me. If, pardon me saying, if it was true that it was on neutral property, then until I actually got the hana'ah, I would not be mechayiv. I would not be chayiv to pay. But since my chatzar has the ability to be koneh on my behalf, once I show that it's something that I want, chatzar shalom koneh lo. There's a such thing as a kinyan chatzar. And therefore, as soon as I reveal that my das is, my chatzar functions on my behalf and is koneh for me. If it's koneh for me, I now have to pay for it. Why? I don't know that anybody would have intuited just from the Mishnah alone that that is the pshat. Now, he does say something at the end about it makes it into a sadas yolita, which brings us back to the din of Yori. Right? Right? By Yori, on Dalet and Beis, that was a discussion that we had in Tosos. That when are you... Not sure why he thinks it's there. That's the truth. I don't know why he needed it. Says if it wouldn't have been true, then it makes it sada suita. The point is that he wants it. If he wants it, his chatzit should be coined. What additional benefit it is to the Ritva to say that it makes like a sada suyalita? I don't know. It's a little bit of a tzarech ian to me. I guess the point is that I didn't do it. The other person did it. So now the question is why am I paying for what he put there? He wasn't mafkir it, but he did it on my property. So the only halakha which gives him any right to do that is really yori. So why am I konen? Because now it's a sadas yolita. That's the approach to the Ritva. So we'll have to see. I don't want to hold you guys too long. I know we started a little bit late. That was my fault. I don't want to hold you too long. That's what we're going to have to try to examine a little bit further tomorrow. Try to figure out in this question, and then figure out what is the mechayim. How does the nehenet work over here? If we can get a little bit more clarity on the mechezkas shalom nasan, we'll try to see that as well. We'll look, you see the Rishonim about whether you can stop him from building, you can stop him from building without Dalagamos. Okay, so try to finish up with those things tomorrow, and then see if we can start the Gemara as well. Again, the Iker for now, especially is the question, is understanding, and then again, looking critically at the Rashi and the Mishnah, and then we'll figure out how to develop it.